Welcome to New Hope Town's Leadership Training School. In this message, we will talk about knowing God for who He is, not what He can do for you. Knowing God requires that we seek His face, not His hand. What does that mean, to seek God's face instead of His hand? Have you ever had somebody ask you for money, maybe a homeless person or a beggar? They're typically not concerned about what you look like or who you are. They just want to know what's in your hand. What are you going to give them? What is in it for them? However, if you've ever watched two lovers, they're focused on each other's face. They're intently looking at each other, wanting to get to know each other, wanting to be intimate with one another. Approaching God like a beggar and seeking His hand is to treat God like a genie in a bottle. Give me three wishes, please. I'll take a car, a boat, $1 million. No, that's not how we seek God. We have to seek God as a lover seeks a loved one. We have to pursue Him. Take a look at Psalm 27, 7 through 9. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. The psalmist is approaching God as a lover. He wants to be intimate with Him. He wants to look into His eyes and understand His character. Exodus 33:11 is an amazing scripture that should inspire you to press into God. It says, "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent." When we truly seek God's face, we will know Him, and God will speak to us as a friend. A friend shares his heart. To have God share His heart with you, what a place to live. You might be saying, okay, Greg, I get it. I understand the difference between seeking God's face versus His hand, but why is that so important? I'll tell you. There's two reasons. The first is we were created to have communion with God. The definition of communion is an act or instance of sharing, intimate fellowship or rapport. In Genesis 1:27, it says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." God made man in His own image so that the connection can be closer than with other created things. God cannot commune or be intimate with any other of His created beings because they are not like Him. We are in His image. In Genesis 2:16-17, the Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" God gave man free will. God wants us to love Him freely, not under compulsion or out of fear. So we even see here in the Garden of Eden, God is creating man to have a relationship, but not a relationship that's forced, one that is out of love. God wants us to love Him. The second reason relates directly to you as a leader. How can you be qualified to impart Jesus to others, to lead others in their walk with Christ? Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." The only way to impart God to others is to first know God. And you can only know God if you seek Him for yourself. You have to read the Word yourself, and you have to seek the Lord in prayer yourself. We must know Him, must know His character, His presence, His power, His mercy, His kindness, and His love. His attributes are endless and awesome, but we have a lifetime to know Him. Knowing God comes from spending time alone with Him, seeking His face. If you take a look at 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." If we do not know Him, how can we do this? How can we entrust what we have heard to other reliable men? We have to know Christ in order to entrust the things of Christ to others. If we do not know Christ ourselves by pressing in and seeking His face, we cannot reproduce Him in others. It's impossible.
I remember a time that I've spent seeking God's face, experiencing His presence, was actually just a year ago, or not even a year ago, when Chanelle and I, my wife Chanelle and I, were asked to be a part of New Hope Town and to be a part of planting our church. I did hear God speak, not in an audible voice, but just in my journaling and in my my godly counsel and quiet time. I felt the Lord say that, son, I'm not just asking you to do this for you to do something for me. I remember realizing and hearing that God had said, I'm going to do something in you. And so that has impacted me tremendously, because we're here taking a leap of faith in that. We're experiencing one of the most fruitful times of our marriage and in our ministry, and the future just seems to continue to grow and be exciting for us. So that's the time that I've spent, one of the times that I've spent seeking His face, and I've heard Him and had an impact in my life.
I can remember many times when I've been in prayer really pressing in and I felt God's presence. In those times, I had my journal handy and was able to write down what I felt God was putting on my heart. One of the biggest that I remember and was pretty life-changing was back in 1993. I was praying and seeking God about ministry with a friend who wanted to start a church in Asheville, North Carolina. I wanted to know God's will. I didn't see myself as a pastor or a church planter, but my friend did. Daily, I was spending time praying about this for several weeks, literally resisting God. One morning, I was lying face down on the floor in my kitchen, asking God for direction, and I clearly heard Him speak to my heart, "Why are you withholding this from me? If I'm calling you to be a pastor, will you do it?" I finally stopped fighting God and gave in. I felt a peace, a joy, and fear all at the same time. Because I had sought His face first and God in His presence, He gave me the confidence to take the bold steps that needed to be taken to move forward in His call. Over the course of about 11 months, I quit my job, sold my house, found a place in Asheville to live, and started my first business to support my family. It wasn't easy, but God was faithful and was there every step of the way. 14 years later, we had sold the business at profit, the church we'd helped plant was still in existence, and we were on our way to Hawaii, directed again through prayer and seeking God's face to start a new life here.
Well, a particular time that comes to my mind is definitely the time when I came to Hawaii in May of 2009 on vacation, and became more of an interview trip than a actual vacation. But it was really to come here to seek God's face as to whether we were to live here or not. And so we had a chance to meet with different people and do different things. It's when I was here on that Tuesday night of that vacation that I was just seeking God's face about where it is. Is this what He had for us? And I felt like the Lord say, grab my journal and to start writing. And the words of the Lord spoke to me were these, that now you're sitting, Alex, in your new home, the place I've called you to make my kingdom come and my will be done in and amongst these islands as you desire it in heaven. Take no concern of how you will make this transition, because I've anointed the road and I've put ease to the way so that you may know that this is what I have for you. By the time you leave on this trip, from this trip, you'll know that this is what I have for you. So it is, it impacted me so strongly because it massively changed my life. It was God for the first time definitively saying that this was going to be the biggest change of my life. And it was moving away from everything that we knew and moving to the place of really seeing what God had in store for us by moving to Hawaii.
I want to give you 6 things to do to look for God. Number 1, go God hunting dressed in the righteousness of Jesus. Look at Hebrews 4 verses 14 through 16. In this passage, the Bible talks about Jesus as our high priest and as one who can sympathize with our weakness, since He Himself walked as a man. In verse 16 it says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." You cannot come boldly before the throne of God without Christ. Jesus must be your Lord and Savior. He made the way. If He is your Lord, come confidently, come boldly before His throne. Expect God to accept you into His presence because of the righteousness of Christ, and press in until you are there. Number 2, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Take a look at Acts chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. If you seek it and allow it, the Holy Spirit will enable you to pray in tongues. Praying in tongues is a God-given gift which allows your spirit to pray in accordance with the Holy Spirit. There have been many times when I don't have the words to express what's on my heart when I'm praying. I thank God that I can use my prayer language to pray in accordance with the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues draws me closer to the throne of God, and as a result, God blesses me with a sense of peace and joy that I prayed what needed to be prayed. Number 3, speak to God in the language of praise. Let's take a look at Psalm 22:3. I love the way it's given in the Old King James Version. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. God inhabits the praises of his people. He will be where his praises are. God will speak to you when you praise him. Make sure you spend time in praise and worship to him as you begin to seek him. Number 4, have a broken spirit. Isaiah 57:15 says, For this is what the high and lofty one says, He who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. God dwells with the lowly and the contrite of spirit. What does contrite mean? It means grieving and penitent of sin or shortcoming. It's a heart of repentance. It's a heart of need is what contrite is. Our attitude, our approach to God is one of being incomplete without him, one that is so dependent upon him that we cannot continue without him. This is our approach to God if we want to seek his face. Number 5, look intently and unceasingly. Psalm 41:1, this is a familiar verse. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O Lord. Look for God like you're looking for a lost child. Would you ever give up looking for a lost child? You have to press in. You have to keep searching for him. You have to fight the bonds of sleep sometimes. You have to fight the distractions of the day that are coming on you. But you have to continue to look intently and look unceasingly to find God, to seek him and to know him. And number 6, seek his face and not his hand. Psalm 63:1, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. Seek his face. Seek him to know him, not to get something.
I choose to start my mornings what I call knees down and hands up. I like to make the first thing I do is to get on my knees and ask God, God put a song on my heart that I might serenade you, worship you, love you, and honor you for who you are. And then from there, I pray according to a prayer schedule of different things like my family on Mondays and New Hope Town on Tuesdays, Fuse on Wednesdays, and various different things through the other days. And then I move into my time of studying the Word. And so each morning I have time to be on my knees in worship. I have time to press into God through prayer. And I have a time to seek His face through the Scriptures. And doing that is just a wonderful day to start and calibrate my day.
Pressing into God for me always starts with praise and worship and usually involves a mixture of English and my prayer language. I always have a picture in my mind of the Holy of Holies, and my goal is to move step by step into the Holy of Holies where God dwells so that I can see His face and hear His voice. This takes time, and no amount of rushing seems to obtain my goal. Once I feel like I'm in the presence of God, I try to take the posture of waiting, seeking, and just spending time with God. In those times, I'm expecting God to speak to my heart, and many times He does.
Some things that I do to really press into God is to just pause and stop. Say if I'm doing I'm trying to write something or trying to design something for the ministry, oftentimes I'll need to just pause. And in that pause, I'll either stop and listen to worship music, or I'll go for a walk. Being around nature always seems to allow me to have a clear perspective on what I feel like God is wanting to speak to me.
Taking time every day to pause and seek God's face is critical to having an awesome relationship with God. But not every day is going to be full of technicolor visions or life-changing words from the Lord. There will be some days where you just need to be faithful, where you just need to trust, and where you need to even sometimes dig deep into the wells that have been dug from past mornings where you've spent time in the Lord, past times where you've sought His face and found Him.
But I seek the silence through the chaos and the noise.
Yeah, in this walk with Jesus, you'll have plenty of them. You know, I feel like a one time that comes particular was actually over a year long one with the Word. I was back in, I believe, probably around 1998. I've had others since and some recently, but this one comes to mind of I was always so easily able to get into the Word, and for like a year it was just a struggle. I didn't want to do it. It always felt rote. I felt like I was disconnected, and honestly, I was just beating myself up going, what's wrong with me? I can't believe this and everything, and it really came to a grinding halt where I just felt like I was coming undone, and, you know, I finally I finally talked to two mentors, and when I talked to them, the two of them spoke what I couldn't figure out in 365 days. They explained to me in two 30-minute talks with two mentors. It just was such a valuable lesson about, you know, the way that you break through dry times is you have to connect with people who God's given for your life to help you sift through the things that are just keeping you a bit disconnected from God.
I've certainly had my share of dry times. During those times, it seemed that none of my formulas for seeking God worked. I did my praise and worship. I prayed in the Spirit, but still, I just felt like I was trying to jump to heaven, but hitting the ceiling. In those times, I kept telling myself, be faithful. Keep pressing in. Keep seeking Him. I was introspective and, you know, asking questions like, do I have unrepented sin? Am I judging others, or have I treated my wife poorly? Sometimes God has shown me, you know, these areas that need work. And when I did truly repent and set my mind and heart on tracking with God, the dry times did end. However, I also recall some times when my walk was solid. I wasn't being mean to my wife, but it just felt like I was on vacation from God. It was like He was back in the USA and I was in Greenland, nothing but snow and ice. I think in retrospect, God was allowing me some space to sharpen my faith, to increase my trust, and to lean on what He had already spoken to me. You know, when your parents are right there with you, telling you what to do, watching you do it, and nudging you when you're about to get off track, you're going to succeed for sure. At some point, however, they step back and let you go it alone. They let you fail. I think God does that too sometimes, and that does feel dry. However, you just got to press on. Keep the status quo and not make any big decisions until you feel like you really are hearing from God again.
Have I ever had any dry times? I think obviously the answer is yes. I think maybe being the young buck, I probably didn't have as much dry times. But our life comes in seasons. Where, you know, we're going through valleys, and sometimes we're laying down besides pastures. And so I've definitely encountered dry times in my walk. And I think a practical dry time I can share is just, you know, being in the Word. I think that's something where a lot of us struggle with, and even myself included. And I'll go through times where I'm on fire going through certain books or going through the life plan, and sometimes I don't get anything. And so I think that, you know, within the life journaling, you know, as you continue to be obedient and diligent, and despite, you know, the emotions and the fire, so-called fire of doing your devotions, I think there's always a breakthrough, you know, and there's always something that brings you back and that you can look back onto and say, oh, even though it was dry, the Lord was speaking to me. And I always think about the footprints, picture or painting that a lot of us Filipinos have in our bathrooms. But it's one where they look back, someone's looking back on the beach where he went for a walk, and he looks back and he sees two sets of footprints, and there's times where there's one, and the guy asks, where were you, Lord? And that's when the Lord says that I was carrying you then. And that's such a such an awesome picture of that.
God wants a relationship with you. He wants your motives to be to know him, not to get something from him. If you're going to lead others, you have to have that motive, and that's what you'll reproduce, is that motive of knowing him, loving him, and seeking him. In return, you're going to have an amazing walk with him. You're going to know his will. You're going to know his direction. You're going to be able to navigate through life without hitting all the missteps, without hitting the potholes. Because if you're seeking his face, guess what? He's going to give you direction. He's going to give you comfort in trying situations. He's going to give you answers to those questions that you have on a day-to-day basis. So find a quiet place and pray in the morning. Pray retail, as they say, not wholesale. Don't rush. Don't give God the short version. Pour out your heart to him. Wait on him. Let me say it again. Wait on him, which means sometimes just waiting in silence, waiting for the Lord to speak. Seek his face, and he will then provide all that you need. Don't seek him for your needs only. Seek him to know him and to know him fully.
Well, I would say that I like to gauge, where my heart is at when it comes to wanting to see God's face rather than his hand, is my perspective. And if you look at that as kind of just an outlook or where your eyes are pointing, a lot of times, when things aren't going our way or we're discouraged or upset about something, I find that our eyes or our perspective or our attention is focused inward into ourselves selfishly. And oftentimes what I'll remind myself is that, okay, I need to shift from focusing inward to upward, which is God seeking his face, and outward, which is God's people, whom we're, it's such a paradigm shift for me when I just focus on looking up and outward to God and to people, rather than focusing inward. And that's a general thing that I like to look to.
I think I would encourage anyone who wants to know God in a couple ways. I think the first is to just check your motives. If you put God before yourself, then you're on the right path. So you just got to look at your motives. Is it about you or about God? Also, I think there are different seasons in life. Just as a baby needs constant and close care and feeding from the parents, a new believer needs the same. When a new Christian prays, the prayers are going to be more about themselves and God. They're going to seek his hand. That's okay. As we grow in Christ, though, we have to check our motives and make sure we are seeking God because we want to have a relationship with him. That is why he created us, to fellowship with us.
I feel that truly if you want to come to know God, then you have to make intentional, uninterrupted time with him every day, and not short. If you were to give 30 minutes of uninterrupted time to God every day, all you would be giving him is 2% of your total allotment of minutes. And so, I'm not saying that we should spend more than that, but we should start with that. 30 minutes, I believe, a day of uninterrupted time with God, where we turn off the radio, we turn off the phones, we turn off the TV, and we seek his face, and we say it to him, to God, this is all your time. And we spend that in prayer and in worship and in time in the Word. Because when we're doing that, then we're coming to know him for who he is, not what he can do for us.
God created us to have communion with him, fellowship, intimacy. We need to seek him. We need to know him. If we want to be leaders and impart him to others, we have to know him. We have to seek him. Spend time with God. This has been a New Hope Town production. God bless.